The last time we had the funny and talented Jim Parsons on our show, it was to talk about the Broadway revival of Harvey, in which he played Elwood P. Dowd, a man whose best friend was an enormous white rabbit that most people couldn't see. But you can see Jim all over the place. Thursday nights on his hit CBS TV show, The Big Bang Theory, for which he has won two consecutive Emmys as the super geeky genius physicist Dr. Sheldon Cooper, and on a number of other channels because the popular sitcom is in heavy syndication.
Yeah, you really can't avoid us. If you make dinner, you're going to see us.
But I'm very happy that Jim Parsons could come back to our show now that he's wrapped up taping this season and before the finale is aired next month.
Next month, that's right.
Do you feel a difference when you go back to doing The Big Bang Theory after a summer of doing theater?
Yes, but it's funny. I've done it twice now. 2 years ago, I went back to work after doing Normal Heart, and I felt different because you would exercise different muscles, you know, in a way, and certainly in that case, a very different tone of piece, you know, not a comedy really at all, although comic moments. But then last summer, coming back from Harvey, I don't know if it had anything to do with Harvey or not, but I very distinctly felt this kind of shock that we were going into season six, and this real, oh God, I just felt very cognizant of the fact that, you know, half a decade had gone by already, and that at so many levels you don't notice that or feel that as it's happening. On so many levels, the pilot episode feels just as close to me as yesterday. Now, there are other specifics going back in the memory that feel very far away that have happened even since the pilot episode, but there is this general thing of, I just felt very cognizant of the fact that at some point, if we're lucky enough, an entire decade's going to go by, and, you know, what have you done? What have you done with those last 10 years?
Well, you could have been in a show like Les Mis, and the same sort of thing would have happened if you
stayed
from the start. That's
true. That's true.
But isn't doing a sitcom to some degree like doing theater? Because, well, at least if you do it in sequence,
yes,
before an audience,
yes,
you're pretty much doing a mini play
every
week.
Every week. And we are. You know, we do it in sequence, and we do it before the live audience every week. So in our case, yes, it's very much, 4 days of rehearsal, on the fifth day you perform. 4 days rehearsal, fifth day you perform. And I think that served us very well. I think one of the... I'm sure there's many different reasons. I don't know why we're still on the air and successful, but one of them that I think is...
Because it's a funny show?
Well, but I think, you know, we have really good writers who are guided every week by that live 250-member audience. So we never have an opportunity to... I don't want to say lose ourselves, but it's not possible to lose track of a certain segment of our audience.
Now, more and more we're seeing people who start off in television, mm-hmm, or movies, but you did theater after you left grad school.
Yes, I did theater. I did theater after undergraduate. I did tons of theater in Houston, and then I went to grad school, and I moved here after grad school and got an agent and did a few different shows before I was making any income from... whether it be commercials or anything else.
And then after a number of seasons of The Big Bang Theory, you decided to go back to theater?
Yeah, I very specifically asked my agents. I said, I really, really want to do a play this summer. And I said, it was I think it was January of the year Normal Heart was going to happen. And I thought, this is probably too late. Just know that I will happily take myself, relocate for the summer to New York and just do readings. I don't care. But then Normal Heart was still casting, and luckily George C. Wolfe had seen The Big Bang Theory, and so one thing led to another, thank God, and it got me involved in that.
You must have been quite young when the events of the play took place.
You know, it was funny. I played in the play the character Tommy Boatwright, who roughly would have been about his relationship to... The Stonewall events, which are talked about in the Normal Heart, were roughly my same age of when all the Normal Heart stuff was happening to me, roughly about 12. So I was very cognizant, if I've used that word once, I've used it 1,000 times today, I was aware that it was happening, but certainly not what it meant to me or really anybody else, and certainly not to the magnitude we got in touch with doing the play.
Although by coincidence, the play was... in the summer of 2011, and the New York State Assembly passed the bill that gave gays the right to marry.
Yes.
So how did people in the audience and among the cast react at that time?
Oh, well,
I mean,
first
were
off,
you aware of it?
We knew that they were voting. We didn't know what the exact timeline would be. And after we took our bow that night, one of the producers came out and said, and they brought the house lights up, and they said, I remember he saying, I'm sure since all of you had your phones off during the show, none of you know that this passed. And we all came back on stage, and we were applauding, and the audience was applauding, and it was very moving, but for two very specific reasons. One, just the event having happened while we're doing this show, it seemed very monumental. But then on a more selfish note, I had never seen our full house lit up like that with all the audience in it. And seeing these people that had just gone through this play with us for the last couple of hours and then sharing this moment with them was very moving, you know.
I was amazed at how current the play felt, even though it had been set decades before. You felt the same way?
Oh, completely the same way. Well, it didn't... God, it's been a long time since I've talked about this. It didn't... It obviously speaks very specifically to a certain time that went on, that the play deals with in the 80s, with the outbreak of the AIDS crisis. But the treatment of human beings by other human beings, which at a deeper level it speaks of through the whole thing, that resonates now, and for good or bad, I think that will resonate forever. There will always be another thing like this going on.
Well, right now we're talking about gun control, and we're seeing similar kinds of government responses.
Absolutely.
Now, your character in the play, Tommy Boatwright, explodes at one point.
Yes, to the mayor.
Not something I've seen you do on television since Sheldon is so tightly wound
up. Certainly different.
So was that a relief for you as an actor?
It was, well, certainly it was a relief. It's a very, Larry Kramer, who wrote it, that is a very, very well-executed moment from a writing standpoint. It is nearly a mathematical equation the way that moment comes together, and finally Tommy shouts at the mayor, says, "Oh, come on, Blanche," and it just it never failed to work, thank God. And I give full credit to Larry for that.
Although now that Ed Koch is dead, do you think there would be a different reaction?
No, I really don't.
My guess is Jim Parsons. Of course, stars as Sheldon on the CBS hit The Big Bang Theory Thursdays at 8 p.m. But there's also going to be an HBO version.
Yes, we're going to shoot it this summer, start shooting it this summer.
And will it have the same cast members?
No, it'll have very very different cast members. I will be playing Tommy again.
Because Joe Mantello was extraordinary. Here's this great director.
Yes, and he is actually in the movie,
turned out to be
but he's
great
not Ned in
actor.
It. Oh, and he, working with Joe Mantello on The Normal Heart was one of the most, I think will turn into one of the most important experiences for me personally as an actor I ever had, to observe someone so passionately committed, never mind his talent, he's just an excellent actor, but so passionately committed, so smart about theater in general, and really, he was the real pulse of that production in so many levels, one of which was that we always were a part of his ride. You know, he was the energetic core that we reacted off of a lot of the time, at least. Certainly, I felt that way. And you never knew exactly, you know, what words Joe would say, and you know what physically he would go to on the stage, but it was never phoned in. So it varied with his own day-to-day.
So what's going to happen with the HBO version? Will it be the full play?
It will be the full play. A lot of things end up getting more fleshed out. Larry's rewritten a lot of it because it's a movie, see so many of the things that you could just talk about on stage. We can actually go there and do that, you know. But it's the same general story.
Now, you're generally associated with comedy, and Harvey was a comedy,
yes.
And of course, The Big Bang Theory. Does it matter to you? Is acting acting?
Yeah, to me, yes, acting is acting. What mattered to me, funnily enough, was very early on, comedy mattered to me, not because I wanted to be in comedy or because I wanted to be funny, but because that was the first type, it was a farce actually I was in, that I really felt really connected as an actor on stage. So
That
was Noises Off, very good. So for me, for whatever reason, comedy was really my gateway into connecting with people on stage.
And it's wonderful for an actor or for anyone on stage when the audience explodes in laughter. You said something and they laugh. Yeah. It's a more visceral reaction than when you say something dramatic and they go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Although I will say being in the Normal Heart, I was a very different type of cathartic energy coming from them that was as powerful as laughter. And I had never been in anything like that before. You know, more of the energy of tears, I think. But it was just as palpable in that case.
Can you tell us about how you became a founding member of the Infernal Bridegroom production?
Yes, I had a friend. I was in class. I was in an acting class that the director Jose Quintero was teaching at University of Houston, and I had a friend in that class who had seen me do a monologue, and he knew that they were about to do a version of Endgame, Beckett's play, and he thought I would be good for it. And I had never read it, so he said, "Come audition." And I went to this warehouse. They were holding auditions, and I read the part of Clove, the manservant, and it sounds very cocky, but I didn't mean it as such. I just knew, right, I was like, they're going to cast me, and I think I'm going to end up doing this. And so grateful I did. It is still to this day my favorite play. I would love a chance to do it again, but more importantly, opened a relationship with me and that company that continues to this day.
And then you were one of only 7 students accepted in a special 2-year course in classical theater.
That's right.
So people seeing you in The Big Bang Theory will not make the connection between you and Shakespeare.
No, perhaps not. Although sometimes the way they write this, I wish I was learning Shakespeare instead.
Well, what about that? You have to say some very complicated lines. They sound, in fact, often at breakneck speed, you're saying something that sounds like serious physics theory.
Well, and is, and which unfortunately means that I don't really usually completely understand what it is I'm saying in the harder circumstances. I have a general sense, of course, in order to try and play it, but, you know, I find out I'm leaving out one word in a sentence, and of course I am, because I don't know why it's there, you know.
And then you're saying it very fast.
And then some of it's very fast. So you
and
really
the rhythms
do.
It's very odd.
Yeah, they're very specific, but it's what attracted me to it from the first time I read the pilot episode. I didn't know exactly what these guys were talking about, but I could really sense the rhythm that the writers had been writing it in, and I thought that was brilliant. And I still think I'm agog at the way that they're able to use these words and these ideas with that comedy rhythm.
Well, I'm sure that to some degree they write it with you in mind.
Certainly.
But you said on our previous visit to our show that in some ways you feel closer to Elwood P. Dowd, than you do to either Tommy Boatwright or to Sheldon.
Yes, I would say that. And you know what? This may be just an actor speaking. I don't know. Like, the way I relate to him, Elwood had that sort of outsider-y thing about him. And not that Sheldon doesn't, but it's different. You know, Elwood was much more an observer of other humans, you know, whereas a character like Sheldon could, you know, give a care about a lot of other humans, frankly. And I think there was something very actorly about Elwood, observing people, trying to connect with them, communicate what makes them tick. And even if you're a shy actor, that still is typically the impulse, figuring out what makes humans tick.
Because you're becoming a different person every time you play a different role.
Yeah, what's the motive, you know, with every move? What's happening?
Were you surprised by the stir the New York Times article caused last year when it mentioned that you were gay and it suggested that they had outed you, even though you had been out for a very long time?
Well, I guess it was the... It is the what the paper of record.
So now you're officially gay?
Yes, that became real on that day. Yes and no. I loved that piece. I thought Patrick Healy, who wrote it, I thought he did a wonderful piece, and I was proud of it. And it got, you know, picked up. I still don't think it was quite as big of an outcry as it would have been 3 years ago, 5 years. I'm not talking about me, but anyone. And it dwindles. It lives a half-life a year that goes away, you know.
And you're not a professional football player, so.
No, so it's not that exciting.
So this is the end of the sixth season.
Yeah.
The Big Bang. How many more seasons do you envision?
You know, I have been quoted as saying that I think we'll go for 10. So that would mean 4 more.
And that's okay with you.
Oh, I look, not only do I know how fortunate I am to have this job, I love this job.
My great thanks to Jim Parsons, who plays Sheldon, and will be back as Tommy Boatwright in The Normal Heart on an HBO version of that play. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.